New episode of the show. Kevin still out enjoying the sun in Hawaii. Forgot to take his co-host, which is really disrespectful, honestly. But Grant is a part of the brand now. Many of you know and love Grant. After a few episodes, he steps in. It's like nothing ever happened, right? We talk a little bit about the Super Bowl, Brett Favre being an asshole, and some personal stories and memories from college. A good time. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Back. This is the Friendship Podcast, aka Dickhead Tuesday 2.0, because Kevin and his newly minted fiance are still enjoying the natural ribbed pleasures of a pineapple. So I hope they're enjoying their time together, exploring new unique activities of the tropics and their new half marriage, I guess.
I don't think,
it's like half a marriage, right?
Well,
because it's not dating and it's not being married.
Well, I suppose there's probably some different theories on how relationships should work in different stages. I personally, Lauren and I, basically, our relationship hasn't changed since we were like 20.
That's not true. You weren't living together when you were 20.
Okay, other than living together, but
you didn't have a kid when you were 20.
I wouldn't say the kid has really changed how we interact with each other, though. I feel like people get these weird, when we get engaged, it's going to be different. Like, when we get married, it's going to be different. It's probably why a lot of marriages don't last. 50% of them, by the way, Grant. So, careful.
100% if your last name's Kulik.
There's got to be somebody in your family that's still
married. Yeah, there are. There's a lot of them.
Disrespectful to your own family there. But all right. Welcome in. Friendship Podcast. I'm not even really sure what we're going to talk about today. I got a couple ideas. I will say this. Grant, when his internet is good, you won't be able to tell if his internet isn't good. It's halfway good right now. But Grant is on the new on the new webcam that we sent him. And when the internet is connected and juicy, he looks nice and fine. Drake, even though he sits back on the beautiful black wall that Kaylee has interior designed in his office, is looking.
I painted this pussy.
You painted? Personally?
Yes. Wow. Yes. I taped and painted. So fuck you.
Well, get you a job. Of course there's me. Beautiful intro, Drake, on the ribbed pleasures of the tropical pineapple. That is straight from Kevin's mouth.
He said he was sticking pineapples up his ass and he wouldn't be back for a bit. So I didn't ask any questions.
Yeah, to each his own, right?
I do understand that, you know, when you put it in and you try and pull it out, it's got that little grab. It's like a fish hook, you know, fish hook goes in and that barb gets you. You can't really quite pull it back out. So get that in there too far, he's going to have to call a doctor.
I believe doctors are actually quite frequently have to deal with people who get stuff stuck in their orifices, in their holes.
What was it in Jackass? What did that one guy get?
Toy car. Up there? Toy car. Which was on purpose. Yeah.
Right, but.
Yeah. So, Kevin.
Why does it keep disconnecting my camera? What's going on here?
I don't know. You guys both have issues.
Great.
Gary's internet is just, it's up and down. It's like a wave. And Drake, you haven't disconnected. You're still there, but.
My webcam keeps going black though.
Oh, well, fuck. I'm going to have to send you the webcam that I sent Gary and Kevin then. And we're just going to have to get you a new piece. Kevin's still in Hawaii. This is the Friendship Pod. If you listen to DHT and you're part of the Patreon, this is, like Drake said, Patreon 2.0, because this was yesterday's podcast. Another fantastic episode. People are loving Gary. Got a comment on the YouTube here from Ryan Peters, just a nice lad, said, Greg is such a nice asset to the pod. I vote he stays on for backup whenever Drake or Kevin are fucking off.
Who's Greg?
That's you.
Oh, okay.
That's your alter ego.
I was joking around, but I appreciate whoever said that. Thank you. Yeah.
Greg, G Money, Gary, Grant, Jihad, G Bomb,
G Bar,
Jeezy.
I'll respond to anything. So
yeah. So people are loving you. It's a good thing.
And I love everyone. So
somebody also left a comment on our YouTube short most recently on the Does the NFL Root for the Chiefs, and they just said no.
Just well, no. I'll tell you what. If you're saying everyone loves us, clearly not on Instagram.
Did we get into a little scuffle there? Was there some comments that were?
Well, I just there's definitely some people that jokes were flying over their heads, but okay. That's okay. That happens. It was a funny night on Instagram.
Not everybody's too smart. Not everybody's too smart. Drake, we didn't talk about the Super Bowl at all, I don't think.
You and I didn't, no.
Yeah. Did you – you were sick. Did you get to at least watch the Super Bowl?
I fell asleep when it was like – I saw Kadarius Toney put him up. I saw his good kick return.
Yep.
I forget what the score was when I fell asleep, but there was like 5-8 minutes left, something like that. So I missed the hold, but when I woke up, I saw all the replays – I think it's a bullshit call. It's the Super Bowl. I think that's whack, but I mean, it got called. So
I think that as that referee, and maybe some guys do want this, I don't know. A lot of people like power and like feeling like they're in control. I would not want, if I'm a ref, I do not want to leave, walk off a field, feeling, you know, making anybody else feel like I had control over how that game ended. And forever and ever. And, you know, probably every ref feels like this now in the day of social media, but this one specifically.
It was worse in the AFC Championship game, dude.
It's true.
The refs literally wear red.
Well, I mean, you've seen the jersey swap between Pat and the
There's a funny video on Twitter that was circulating around this week. It was like Kansas City Chiefs, like congratulations, like season highlight video. And it was just a bunch of missed calls on like holdings and stuff from the AFC Championship and the Super Bowl and throughout the season. It was kind of funny.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It's, there's been a lot of talk, this year about refs in the Big Ten, there's several, but, Big 12 basketball wise. And there was some talk about that in football season as well. And you can get down a rabbit hole full of like, how do we get better reffing? Right. Well, you have to pay them. You have to make it a enjoyable, attractive job to seek out. And then you have to have good training and you have to have good standards, good, internal review. The NFL usually has that. I believe they've got a pretty good like hold on like point system, and they have rewards. Like if you want to be a playoff ref, you have to be so much higher graded on their scale than the other guys, all that stuff. But like in college, like it gets really bad. It gets really, really bad, dude. And I watched my cousin, and this is, I mean, obviously this is sophomore basketball. I watched my cousin play sophomore basketball the other day. The refs might as well have not even showed up, dude. Just, I mean, talk about inconsistency. They're mugging people down the floor one possession. The next possession, if you breathe on the guy, it's a foul. I mean, it's unbelievable. I mean, and I get it. They're just there to collect their 40, right? Collect their 40 bucks and go home. Grab a Skittles on the way out from the concession stand. But man... Not a great spot to be either. Being a ref is sort of like being a specialist. Not a lot of not a lot of thanks going around there. You know,
oh, no, zero. Yeah, it was tough too. I feel like to add though, just in the Super Bowl, it's a tough spot though because like we're all gonna remember that one call, right? But
sure.
Like every minute up to that, I feel like there was like almost no penalties too. Like it was a well-called game up to that point.
Well, and you would think like that's sort of the vibe they're going for, right? Like this is the Super Bowl. Let's just watch football.
Yeah.
We don't want to see a ref show.
Yeah.
We don't want to see the zebras running around.
Yeah.
Drake's actually, before you joined the brand, Drake has threatened to murder zebras on this podcast multiple times.
Like, well, I think we broke into it a little bit. I can't remember which. I think it might have been the fighting the fans when we talked about that, where Drake was talking about some choice words he had for refs.
I mean, Drake at this point is going to lead a safari. To kill and zebras. That Ott Farms hat is truly one of a kind.
Shout out to the gang.
Unbelievable. What do we think about the field situation? Why?
It's shitty. But the players are calling for grass, and then the NFL brings bad grass. Like, it's the same grass that they put in the Rose Bowl for, you know, the granddaddy of them all. It's like, why did you give us shit grass in the Rose Bowl? It's beautiful in California all year round. Get great grass.
Some say the Hawks might have had a chance that day.
I mean, not me. If anybody could have stayed on their feet, it would have been better than it was.
I still think that Christian had different cleats. I think he was using black magic or something like that.
Buddy, he has different feet. We see that every Sunday.
He's got different chromosomes. Is what he
has. I bet his cock is huge.
Could ask George.
Should ask George, actually.
We both have George's contact. We could just, hey, how do you think that conversation would go?
Hey, he'd tell me straight up.
Yeah, and, hey George, just wondering, you know.
To be honest, man, when I was at the concert and McCaffrey was there, I should have just asked him. Like, hey, why did you do us?
Wait,
like,
he was there and you didn't ask him?
Yeah, I didn't. I just didn't want to be like that guy.
Man.
I didn't want to be that guy because he wasn't with us. He was just there. Okay. And he called George over to talk to George. And then he was probably 10 feet away or so. I didn't just want to be the random guy he doesn't know that looks like a trailer park boy. Walk up to him and be like, hey, why did you beat the shit out of us a decade ago?
Yeah, in that scenario, it is weird if guy with long hair that looks like a little bit of a let go Ashton Kutcher comes up and goes, hey man, I played for the Hawks with George in 2015. Why'd you have to dick us down, bro? And by the way, speaking of it, how big is it? You know. You did have the opportunity technically to just grab it though, if you wanted to.
For sure.
Yeah. You could have got a decent idea. I'm sure it was hot in that place. It was probably nice and yeah, it was all good.
Buddy, I was so dehydrated.
I mean, you were on
I was on death's door.
Yeah, you were dead.
Yeah.
I don't know where you got it from or who you gave it to, but somebody else.
Everybody, except for George and Claire, thank God.
You're just breathing in the opposite direction, trying not to get them sick. Unbelievable. I just thought it was crazy. I think part of it too was they painted the shit out of the field.
That's what they did in the Rose Bowl too, to make the grass look as green as it possibly can.
Yeah, that's what people don't know is they actually the green parts are painted as well. Mm-hmm. Do you know that, Grant?
Is it really?
Yeah.
Yes. Not the just Rose the logos
painted. So you're not allowed anywhere on the surface the day that you go in to take your team photos and everything. Like, you're allowed to go in the Rose Bowl, but don't you fucking dare cross the caution tape. And it surrounds the whole 120 by 52.5 or 53.5.
Yep.
Yeah. See, I thought you were referring to when you were what's up with the grass. There's a lot of like conspiracy theory going on with it right now in terms of like the. Well, it's like, and this is where people think we were grasping at air with the Chiefs stuff, but there's a lot of conspiracy theory going on because, like, apparently the head like of the grass at the game, he's like this like 94-year-old diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan who's done it like every single game or something, and like apparently they were like, oh, this is like they were rigging it or whatever. I'd have to dig more into it. I heard about it briefly. I don't know if any of it is true. It could just all be like jokes online, but I did see that circulating around.
That's a bit of a stretch. I mean, they both had to play on the same grass, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So,
but I mean, I get.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, you could say the same thing about us and Christian. Just a really bad look for us that day. I just think it's wild.
Super Bowl groundskeeper is a Chiefs fan and retired after the game. A conspiracy theory.
A documentary.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Like, I don't know if, I don't think any of this has really much backing, but they were like counting like, oh, the Chiefs changed, like this many players were changing their shoes and on the Chiefs, and it was less than the Eagles, so it had to be rigged in this way. And
I did see the shoe. They want, at one point they showed the Eagles sideline, I actually think, and there was a pyramid of cleats that people had taken off, and they had new ones on. It was like 14 or 15 different pairs of shoes sitting on top of a equipment kit. I was like, what is going on? They must have all switched to the studs. We interrupt this regularly scheduled programming to talk to you about important stuff like pork, eating more pork. Did you guys know? Well, you did know that I'm into fitness, but obviously diet, working out, all that, very important to the overall health of you, yourself, right? You care about your health. Well, pork, and I just learned this the other night. My wife and I, we went to Fairway. We got some pork chops on sale, 8-ounce pork chops, grilled them up. They were delicious. We're in the middle of making the bread side in the kitchen, and I get to thinking, oh, I wonder how many grams of protein is in this pork. 8 grams is the answer. 8 grams per ounce. Do the math on that. It's, depending on the pork product, it's somewhere between 6 and 8 grams. It's incredibly lean. It's protein forward, which means it's health forward. And name a pork product that isn't delicious. You do it. I'm waiting. I haven't heard an answer yet. That's right. Please consider eating something pork-based for your next meal. Thank you to the Washington County Pork Producers for sponsoring the show. We love you. We love pork. Now carry on.
So, when you guys played in that pinstripe bowl, obviously, right? And I remember there was guys running around in the sneakers. What is that? What do you do as a team when training staff stuffing up, like making sure everyone's got the correct shoes and stuff? Does anything like switch up?
It's on you. I mean, Drake,
it's what you packed. Yeah. I had a pair of training shoes that I was going to put on for the second half, and it was, I think, a strength conditioning coach or a player came up to me. He's like, dude, it doesn't help. He's like, just keep the cleats. They're at least gonna make some impact in the ground. Like, if it doesn't make any single impact at all, you got nothing. So I kept my cleats on. It was the worst. It was beyond imagination. You'd never in your whole career expected to play on this surface. Like, I could not believe we were trying to play football on this surface.
It was truly unbelievable.
They should have moved the game to the infield and just told us we were playing on the smallest field of all time. We're going to play 7-on-7 in the infield because this was bullshit.
Dude, outside of your imagination is an unbelievably accurate way to describe that, Drake, because that's the only way I can put it into words either. I don't think you sitting at home, anybody sitting at home could even fathom.
You went down there with football cleats on and tried to accelerate and play at peak level, it didn't make sense. Like, you could walk on it. If you had tennis shoes, you could walk on it and it would just feel like, wow, there's some grease under my shoes. You know when you're walking around a kitchen, like in a restaurant, and there's a little bit of grease on the floor, and when you go to push off, you're just like not really propelling because your foot just kind of slipping a little bit. That's what it felt like to walk on that grass. What it felt like to play on that grass was having ice skates on.
Truly, like, imagine like an
ice. And I ain't good at skating, dude. I got leveled a couple times that night. I tried to change direction like on contact and just got leveled to the point that G-Money, the guy looks over at our sideline and yells to Brian, hey, you need a new fullback. This one's dead.
He didn't say that. There's no way.
He said it, buddy, right in front of my face. I was getting up off the ground while he was yelling, he's dead.
It probably felt good when you,
because he knew the play, bud. So he knew, he moved over a little bit in the gap and ran downhill, knowing all well that I was having to widen a little bit to get to him. He was outside me. He ran downhill. I got set up. It was a full-blown booby trap, dude. And then he humiliated me to my coach.
Hey, you know what?
That before the snap, when guys move like that, is there ever a moment where you see like the defense move and you're like, oh, I'm about crushed?
Yeah.
Dude, it looked like he had a bungee cord attached to the fucking goalpost. Gravity was pulling him towards the line of scrimmage.
To answer your question, Grant, yeah, there's a lot of that. Even on special teams, even in the minimal reps that I got, like 6-8 punts a game, there was even more so in the punt game, because there's more options that an offense could potentially come at you with when the ball is snapped. But on punt, I mean, the punt team's doing one of a couple things, right? And so, like, alignment and Invincible is the movie with
Vince Papale.
Yeah.
Mark Wahlberg.
And they show that where, like, his knuckles are white versus his knuckles are red. Do you remember that scene?
Yeah.
So that's real. I mean, maybe not in the knuckles, but you can tell once you get a little bit acclimated to being on a special teams field, like, okay, this guy's weight is in his back foot or his weight's in his front foot. And I can kind of recognize that across all the guys who are up on the line right now, all the guys who are in the box. What do they look like stance-wise? Because if your weight isn't forward in your front foot, there's absolutely no chance that you're blocking the punt. And so if you see the majority of guys, they might send three to the shield, right? But if they're not sending six guys, they're not coming after it. And so it's actually really fun for me to watch like a punt play during a game, because I can always tell before the ball is snapped. And it's not like a magic. You can do this at home too. You just have to pay attention a little bit. You can always be like, oh, they're coming after this one. So yeah, alignments. And then if we move, similar to like if they send Drake in a motion or they line him up in a certain spot, the defense ultimately is going to have the last laugh on alignment, because at some point the offense has to settle in and snap the ball. That's why motion, the one guy that can be in motion at the snap, is so damn important. I've been watching Dan Orlovsky videos. He's been talking about all this motion that the Chiefs run to get the Eagles defense out of whack. Eyes in different
super well.
Oh, it worked incredibly. I think that's a lot of what the Hawkeye Nation wants to see with the Iowa offense is, hey, why don't we run out of a little bit more of a spread look and we run some of these slot receivers across the formation every once in a while, maybe run the back out and forth, because it is something that the defense has to account for. But yeah, Drake, that's a fun, you've never even told me that about the, you guys need a new fullback.
Is he like this personal enemy of yours now?
I don't. No. He was actually a young player there at the time. He was like a second year backup who was built a lot like Amani Jones was. Real short, real stout.
Watching AJ Dillon play for the Pack after just knowing he was on Boston College that whole week and like, that guy, when they say built different, AJ Dillon, built different. Guy's quads, I mean, I actually think he's a transformer. I think AJ Dillon is a transformer, maybe a Decepticon. He might be on the evil side. And watching like Josie and them try and hit that guy, I mean, the one thing I wish is that we could have played them on a normal field, because to watch him go against our defense would have been awesome. It would have been a heavyweight bout. And he was, honestly,
that was Josie's flu game. You remember that?
He was sick.
He was so banged up. Oh my Lord. Josie in the training room before the game was like on death's door. They were bringing him medicine. They were trying to give him anti-nausea medicine. Nothing was working. Buddy was so sick.
Cool. But you know he wasn't missing. Like, he wouldn't miss a game for – I mean, he could get his he could be in a farm accident where he loses a limb and he would play if they could just cauterize the wound and put him in pads. He'd have to have somebody help him with his pads. But
Josie Wales doesn't lose gunfights, and Outlaw doesn't miss football games.
Yeah, you're right. I'm glad we had him on our team.
God. Me too.
Fucking. Which, by the way, Sean Payton, now going to be head coach of the Bronx. Oh, and Declan Doyle going with them. So
taught him everything he knows about playing fullback.
We had a fun conversation about that, about how he actually used to – what did he – was he the assistant to –
He was Brian's assistant, yeah.
He was Brian's assistant for the running backs when we played. Uh-huh. I love that you're drinking a Truly, by the way. For those that are just listening, Drake is – well, he's on multiple substances.
And listen, man, I had to take Kaylee to the airport at 3 a.m. this morning. It's an hour to the airport for us, and she flew out. Her flight left at 6. So, like, boarding 5:30. Phoenix Airport, not a, like, small one. There's a lot of traffic in Phoenix Airport.
Yep.
So, man, it's been a long day. After this podcast, I don't have to do anything except for eat food and go to sleep. So, yeah, let's get banged up.
So we get a little bit of help.
This is the first beverage I've had. No, that's a lie. I had one after Bader's fight. I had a tequila and pineapple juice. Shout out George Kittle. This is my second beverage I've had, and I have no idea how long.
So the last time I drank, fun fact.
It was not on this podcast.
No, it certainly wasn't on this podcast. It would have been – what was the second game that Bo came to? Wisconsin?
Shout out Bo Bauer. In 1 week, will be at my house.
He's coming out?
Looking forward to it.
Nice.
Ben Benjamin, Big Head, is having his bachelor party down here in Arizona. And, yep, starts Thursday. Bo gets in Wednesday. And I told him that the only payment for the room is he has to eat edibles with me. So me and Bo are going to get all banged up on edibles Wednesday night.
He needs to come on the pod Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah. Well, he can do that, I'm sure. Yeah.
He just needs to sit in.
Push it back a bit.
How do I
get it on two sets of headphones, though? That'd be a problem.
We might be able to figure out a way to deal with that. Otherwise, you'll just have to – but shit, I don't know. You might just have to use – there is no external – yeah, we might have to use a laptop and just plug it in and hope that it works. But, man, he's coming in. So, anyway, Bo came to two games. He came back to Iowa City for two games this year. And he, for one of the tailgates, brought ranch waters. You guys had one of those?
Had a ranch water.
I think it's just a tequila.
Tequila soda.
I was about it. Now, I'm not talking like I was crushing – you know, them over my head and then, you know, going through tables like Bill's Mafia. But as something to sip on for a guy who doesn't drink, dude, a little ranch water? Come on now. Sip on that. So that's the last time I've had a drink. And before that, that might have been the only time that I tasted alcohol in 2022.
How about you, Jihad? You like to get banged up? You like to booze?
He's never had alcohol because he's 20.
I'll answer all of those questions the second week of March. But got until then, gotta be careful. Still in school.
Look at you.
Still need a job.
Yeah.
The
fifth. Can't confirm or deny it this time.
Like a fucking gentleman.
Yeah. Sorry. For you. Can't be too fun.
No. Yeah. We don't want to incriminate. But by the way, Drake. Speaking of January, February, March, we got 3 weeks to figure out which espresso machine we're sending Grant.
DeLonghi.
Where's coffee? Grant's gonna live in a ass apartment with the best espresso machine.
You ever see Kicking and Screaming?
Yes.
Or a soccer coach movie.
Yep. Just
can bring get giant espresso machine like that. Super fancy. Looks like belongs in Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. Just bring that around with me everywhere.
Dude, I'll never forget that movie because of that little kid that's like. making the noise with the cup on his knee while they're trying to have like a team meeting. Dude, it's so funny. I watched that. God, I probably watched that movie over 15 years ago. Had to be.
Oh, it's a little older now, but yeah. That's all like underrated Will Ferrell movie for sure. They're bringing in Ditka as the coach. This is classic stuff.
Unbelievable. I don't remember what I was going to say to Drake. I guess I have no idea. So in the Discord. Oh, I know what I was going to say with the alleged comments and trying to not incriminate. How about Pat McAfee getting sued by Brett Favre? What is Brett Favre doing? He was like cool until.
Brett Favre's really a fucking scumbag. What do you want? You want me to say anything? He's a fucking scumbag. All right,
dude had a rocket launcher on his shoulder, but now he's just a scumbag, and it's
he's a piece of shit. And Brett Favre should honestly put himself down like a broken racehorse because that's all he is to society. He's a
he should do it to himself, old
fake idol. And take yourself out back like a fucking man and blow your head off with a shotgun.
Well,
I think it's really hard to sue.
I didn't know it was going to go there.
Dude, he stole money from charities, dude.
To build a volleyball gym.
Like, Brett Favre can get fucked.
And now he sees that FanDuel deal that Pat McAfee and the boys did for 120 millies.
Shout out to him.
And Brett Favre and his lawyer go, hey, you know, they talked about us on our show. Maybe we could get a piece of that. Right?
Brett Favre comes after me.
We could
show up where he stays.
I mean, the only way he has a shot is if he's throwing baseballs at your face.
Did you see this?
Grant. Come on, what are we watching TikToks in the middle of this thing?
That was you. That was you. Someone came up with my phone.
I know. I was like, why is that my voice? Why is Grant trying to do?
It's a clip coming up soon.
Oh, is that sneak peek?
Potentially, yeah. Sorry.
Love that. Drake, you know we're gonna start dropping some sneak peek shortened teaser bits of the DHT to the public.
Careful now.
We're gonna put out some of the milder stuff as like
you're gonna have to comb teaser through that content.
Yesterday we were talking about
8 to 10 minutes.
Yeah. We got
shit. I'm going to jail.
You gotta dangle the piece of cheese so the rat will bite, right?
Well, I hope they have good internet in the county.
Speaking of good internet, Grant, now that your internet says it's back, go down to your video settings and go back to the highest resolution. See if that'll correct itself. Maybe, maybe not.
You gotta give me a.
No, you're good. Yeah, I can't believe Brett Favre is a scumbag. It's number four used to rock the. What do they call it up there? Is this the green and yellow? I don't think it's green and yellow. It's probably got some other name for their colors, but unbelievable. And then McAfee was just like egging him on and telling him to bring it. On Twitter, like he's not stopping. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it.
Well, I don't know how he's gonna lose.
Like, McAfee can't lose.
It's a comedy show. Like, yeah. I don't think you can. I don't think there's any way McAfee can lose unless Favre's lawyers are gonna do some like wizardry. I don't see how he's gonna win.
I mean, they simply brought up the headline, the news story that was that everybody else was talking about, and they just had a conversation.
That's true. About it.
Right. I know. No. And that's the thing is like, if you don't want to be defamed, maybe don't do that then because you're
defaming. Steal from charity. Steal from the government, dude. Tax fraud. He'd be a hero if it was tax fraud. Who cares? Tax evasion? Who cares?
Okay.
He's stealing from charities, dude. Piece of shit.
It's like kind of in the. Oh, I didn't want to interrupt you.
No, you're good. Go. I was gonna say
it's like if SBF was suing like Fox News and CNN for defamation right now. It's like, what did you guys do to my image? It's like, well, you probably shouldn't have done all the.
Is that the FTX guy?
Yeah, it's the FTX guy.
Are you big into that jihad?
No,
you don't follow any of that.
I'm not intelligent enough to like. I know that if I got into it, I would just. I'm not smart enough to do it all that stuff correctly.
Crypto like, and everything.
Investing, like I need someone who really understands it to assist me with. If it was just my brain doing it, it would not go well.
Drake and I, before the, you know, the market crashed, we would get on several mornings and we would go over like some stocks and we would do like legitimate market research. There was like a month long period before the market just started to be total ass in 2020. But back in 2019, do you remember that, Drake?
Oh yeah. I still lived in my old house.
Yeah. That was awesome. You'll learn to invest at some point, Grant. And I feel like you'll be big into that. You'll be a big investment guy. It's really not that hard.
I'm sure
you just gotta.
It seems more intimidating, is what it is.
It certainly is intimidating when you like. You're like, how do I make an account? What is a ticker symbol? Like all these little things. How do I, you know? But it's actually not that bad.
What makes it especially hard is that I just simply have no dollars to invest. So well, that makes it extremely hard to get into the space.
Yeah, I don't envy the place you're in, my man. I do miss college. But I don't miss being a broke-ass kid, man.
Yeah. Me either.
Like, tonight, I'm going to go eat whatever I want, and I don't give a fuck what the bill is, okay? And that's the nice part about not being a college kid anymore.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna keeping all the eyes on the bills lately. At least in terms of what anything I'm purchasing and going out and getting food, I probably eat out. Once, twice a week, I get Chipotle, Jimmy John, something, you know, like something real easy. It's a Saturday, right?
Yeah.
But every time, it's a Saturday. You know, these $13 every time.
Listen, man, Jimmy John's has got to chill out, man. Jimmy John's does not get ordered by me anymore, because I can go to Firehouse and get a hot sub with way better tasting food. Yep.
Preach.
For the same price as Jimmy John's.
Preach.
They are going ridiculous over there.
You want to know the biggest criminal? Dude, Subway is going all is turning into their spokesperson and becoming an absolute criminal. Oh. Because Subway, they're the ones who popularized the $5 footlong. Well, guess what? You try and order a $5 footlong nowadays, especially if you want a little extra protein.
Hey, $13.
Your bill's $14.98. Guess what? You need three of those $5 bills now. I remember a time, Subway. I remember a time. And so you're right. Jimmy John's, cross them off the list. Subway, kick them to the curb. Firehouse is where it's at.
Now, let's be honest, Grant. You're not going to catch me at Five Guys getting fries, a shake, and a burger all too often because –
Well, one,
they're actually stealing from you. I have to liquidate IRA money to go to Five Guys more than three times a year.
That's like a $26 bill if you're getting all that.
Bro, it's more than that. You get a triple burger, a fry, and a shake.
Yeah,
that's $31 bill.
Yeah, I mean you're probably gonna have to take out a second mortgage on the house.
Dude, the fries alone are six beans.
Did you hear Grant?
Okay. Like, hey, the most criminal thing of all time, you guys are not going to believe this. There's a Greek spot down the road. Mm. They got Philly cheesesteaks, because I don't know if you know this, but Greek spots love to make Philly cheesesteaks if you don't like the lamb meat. Because if people like Euros and then you go in, you're like, I don't really like Euros. They're like, hey, we got a pretty good steak sandwich. Greek spots have fire Philly cheesesteaks in case you don't got good Phillies near you.
That's a pro tip.
Pro tip. And let me tell you, I've eaten at some of the sketchiest Greek spots in places where you just wouldn't get out of your car because food they have the food. Man, Madison, Tennessee. Let me tell you what, there's a street, and I can't believe I forget the street name, in Madison, Tennessee, just up northeast of Nashville, about 10 minutes. This area looks like meth Baghdad, fucking fentanyl Iraq, dude. It is one of the roughest areas I've ever been in my life.
It's the fentanyl favela.
Fentanyl favela. I can't believe my brain didn't get there. I'm so pissed my brain didn't get to fentanyl favela. I love Brazilians, dude. Okay. Anyways, this place, Grant, was somewhere where Kaylee wouldn't go alone. If Kaylee wanted food from here, she either didn't get it if I wasn't home or waited till I was getting home whatever. Like, Kaylee would not go to this area alone. It was so bad. But, man, their Philly cheesesteaks. Okay, why did I say that? Oh, the Philly spot down the road. They'll charge you $8 for a Philly. A large fry is $7.50. It is – they are crinkle-cut fries, bro. They're charging $7.50 for crinkle cuts.
That's not good. It's not good. Inflation's murdering.
And it's not like you get a backpack of crinkle cuts, dude. They fill up the one of the compartments. Well, I guess two of the compartments because the sandwich is in one. The white styrofoams, you get two compartments worth of crinkle cuts for $7. What are we doing?
Grant, what really resonated with me at the beginning of that conversation was when you're like, you know, I'll go out once or twice a week, but every time that happens, you know, $12, $13, those add up. And I felt that so hard.
Well, it's tough when I work hourly right now, right? So when I go purchase, like, I don't know, $13, $20, something, it's like, shoot, you know, that's 2 hours of work I'm spending on a sandwich right now.
Yup.
Right? Was that worth it? I don't know. I like Jimmy John's, so it might be worth it, right?
Dude, but you're
that's just as long as I'm working hourly, right? That's just how I view my sandwich purchases now.
That's how I view all of my finances. Like I look at what.
But
my
you got a kid now, dude. You have to, like, right, life becomes so much more expensive with a kid.
Well, yes, absolutely, 100%. But what I'm saying is if you want a nice little trick to become a little bit more financially disciplined, even if you're a college kid or a high school kid, and you have any sense of like what it's like to earn $11 an hour, or I mean, the best way is just start equating it, start using your time as the currency instead of the money, right? So if you make 12 bucks an hour and in a Poncheros burrito or whatever the meal you get there is 12 bucks, you're like, this is an hour of my time. If I eat out, it's an hour, right? And now, so it, you know, as a adult who makes a little bit more money than $12 an hour,
G-Bone, do you like Poncheros?
I like that it's open very late, but if
but
we're
you don't
equating
like it.
Well, personally, I would rather have Chipotle, but I also, where I grew up, the first time I ever had Poncheros was here, right? All I was used to is Chipotle. Do they even have Qdoba out here? I don't think
so. No. They've got Qdobas.
Not in Iowa City, they don't.
I haven't seen one
in Iowa City, but that's what I grew up on, right? So when I moved to Iowa City, that was my first exposure to it. So I'm sticking with what I know, right? But I have nothing like against.
Okay, so Poncheros. Which one have you been going to though?
Chipotle.
No, the Poncheros. Which of the three locations? That's a really big factor.
Downtown.
Because downtown is the worst, and then down on Riverside is the second, and then all the way out in Coralville is the best.
I've only been to the two that you said are bad.
G-Bone, do you have a car?
I do have a car.
Okay, I'm going to send you money. I want you to go get a double stuffed queso Poncheros burrito tonight. And I want you to have a report ready to fucking go on the next podcast about how phenomenal your burrito was. Because I need to live vicariously through somebody because I'd shove things up my ass for a Poncheros burrito.
Speaking of reports, I went to Heinz Ice Cream actually.
Yes, tell us about it.
I went and I got, I believe it was apple pie flavored. Yep.
Yes.
Is that what you get?
That's the order.
I thought it was really good. I liked it.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was good.
And how about the experience, right? How about the quaint little
I thought my experience was funny because it was, I think, the same episode you were talking about how much you just hate people who go in and get the food and then eat it in their car. And I did exactly that because I didn't want to be the only person in the restaurant eating right, in the ice cream shop eating. And I was like, Kluver's going to be so mad.
Okay. So here's the deal, right? Here's the deal. There's a little bit of a distinction between that. If it's a, and I know I'm starting to get into the weeds here. If it's a spot like Heinz, or there's a spot in Waukee here, that's the Waukee ice cream shop. And it's got like tables outside. And I know fucking Dairy Queen's got tables outside, but if it's a spot like a hometown spot, and the thing is for people to eat the ice cream you know, like out in the parking lot, or like you're having an experience. But Dairy Queen, man.
Hey, do you remember when me and Bo used to ride, quote, E.T. style on his moped? Do you remember that?
Yes, I remember.
Okay, so who was
E.T.?
I was E.T. There was times I was a 240-pound E.T. Okay, there were times where during the nice parts of the year, we lived over just west of the river on Benton. There's that real old school Dairy Queen right there on Riverside across from Red Pepper.
Yep. Great spot.
And so I had sold my motorcycle years before, and we would just ride mopeds or whatever over to the Dairy Queen. Mm. And so I would, instead of hopping on the back of Bo's moped, I would hop on the front and curl up like E.T. And then Bo would wrap his arms around me and drive the moped from the back. And so then on the way home, I'm E.T. style eating my Dairy Queen. It's got to be a great visual for anybody driving around Iowa City. That
you got to make you could, that has to be the clip. That has to be the clip of this episode.
I love the idea of you two still wearing helmets though during this. Like at least they're being safe. Like
there wasn't
no helmets were worn.
There wasn't a lot of helmets worn out of our house for. I will say, like there is like an odd little, there's an odd little nostalgic missing piece in my life where I would like to go nut to butt with with one of my boys on a moped again.
Come to jiu-jitsu one time. You're nuts to butt a lot, dude.
I don't think that's I would rather it be on a short trip down the road to the Dairy Queen on Riverside in some crisp summer air. It's nighttime. It's dark. It's cool, but it's crisp. And you're going to get ice cream with the boys. Like, that's, you know, if this was bussin', that would be my shout out, no free shout out of the week. It would be nut to butt down to the Dairy Queen on Riverside and getting a little vanilla cream, you know? Nut to butt and cream. That's all you need. So, I don't know. I hope you can scrounge together $12, Gary, and I'm glad that you've.
I'm not down that, but that.
No.
I need it that, but.
Gary,
everybody, Gary,
shut up. I'm probably doing better than most people in college.
What's your Venmo?
Good job.
Give me your Venmo.
I don't want to give it out on the.
No, you need to give it out on Gary because.
Gary, send it in the group chat right now. Text me.
I'll text
Gary. I will fire you. I will fire you, Gary. Text me your Venmo.
I'll text Drake. I don't want to say it on air.
I want you to say it on air so that the walk-on army can send you $486 and you can go eat burritos.
I was thinking the same thing, dude. I was thinking you were about to get random $5 Venmos from everybody, dude. 10,000 people are going to hear this.
I don't want that.
God,
dude, we could pay for a semester of living and books just off one Venmo drop.
If every listener right now, in the arms of an angel, it just takes $1. Or for this podcast, it just takes a $10 bill every month to save young Gary the intern's life and pay for his semester of college. In the arms. Yeah, so you just missed a golden opportunity. Glad you got the apple pie, though.
I'm sending this to Drake.
Okay. Well, don't be surprised if he's just accidentally drops that on the...
I'll wait, though.
The
Kluver, you fucking moron.
Send it to him. We're not going to drop it. Send it to him, Gary. Well, now I swear to God.
Oh, no.
Because I was going to drop it.
Send it
100%
to him.
100% as soon as... at this, huh? Nice.
So
I don't know what to do anymore.
We should probably you need to send it. You're overthinking this way too hard.
Care Bear.
You need to reap the benefits of the walk-on army. Let them take care of you.
Was that your number, G-Bone? Or are you just that number of Grant Allen in
No,
in it's just his Venmo Twitter system. Name. It's just Venmo, Grant Allen 36.
Well, different number.
G Money has multiple numbers.
But That is not the or no, what's I'll that is actually my Venmo. That is my Venmo.
No, it's not. What is? You're a dumbass. He's trying to trick the walk-on army.
Oh.
Grant, what do you bench?
I don't know. Where are you going with this?
Well, there was a conversation in the Discord today about trying to hit the 1,000-pound club, and we were talking about it. And
there was a time where I was very over the past, I'd say ever since August, I have been out of my usual lifting
Okay, what's your all-time PR on the bench?
225.
Okay, you can throw up.
Let's go. You can go up to the bench.
I can't do that right now, though. I can't do that right now.
Okay,
right. I've gotten lazy. But there was a time when I was going 6 days a week, when I was playing lacrosse, that I could throw up 225.
Okay, that's respectable.
G Money, guess what my 225 max was before I tore my pec?
I'm gonna guess 12.
33.
33 reps.
Yeah, we were. Come on, Gary, you got to give us more than that. I put up 22.
I don't know. Well, I know what Christian got five, right? Or how many he got at the combine? He didn't get. McCaffrey put up. He only put
probably
up
probably had 12.
He put up Drake a shockingly low number. Hold on.
Well, Drake and I definitely did more than him. He had other measurables that we didn't have, like the cock size.
He put up 10 reps.
Well, that's soft. Oh, by the way, just to drop this, I just need to brag on myself real quick because I don't do enough of that. The year we came out, okay? The year we came out, not sexually, but in the of college, right? We were eligible for the 2018 NFL draft. We did not get drafted, contrary to popular belief. My 5-10-5 time would have been top six
in the whole combine.
No, my 5-10-5 would have been like top 15 because I ran a bad one. I ran like 4.06 or something like that. My three cone would have been top three at the combine, including DBs, including receivers. Throw them all down. Tyler Kluver, the 5'10 long snapper from Iowa, would have gotten third.
Not that many people run the three cone, though.
You're right. I know, but it still made me feel
good. Cool. You could hold that over everyone's head, though. Now
I am.
He does hold that over.
And no one can tell
he
you.
He holds it. He holds a lot of things over our head. Like he was faster at this than us. And
facts.
KF didn't take his scholarship and give it to some guy that never played a snap.
Okay. I never have held that over your head. Although at one point, so. Funny enough, I watched so do you remember when Reed Sealby switched to long snapper?
Yeah.
So I never at the time, obviously, got like the back end conversations or like sort of what was going on with that move with him and Doyle, him and Coach Ferentz. For those listening, a little bit of context, Reed Sealby was a decently recruited offensive lineman in the class above Drake and I, so he would have been class of 2012 coming out of high school. I believe he's from Byron, Illinois, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And really good wrestler in high school as well. He came in, was an offensive line recruit, maybe even a defensive line recruit, ended up being on the offensive line, didn't pan out. And by the time it was his third or fourth year, they kind of said like, hey, the writing's on the wall. The coaches are honest with you, right? The writing's on the wall. I believe it was at the end of the year. He tells this story anyway. Like he goes through this whole thing, Drake. And I kind of learned of like the back end conversations and like, am I going to stay in the program? Am I not? Am I going to transition to long snapper? Am I not? He told this whole story on another podcast he went on with some dudes. And he actually, he spoke really highly of me. Like he was super respectful of me because the end of the story was basically that summer Coach White on a specific day at Skills and Drills was like, okay, like this is the day. Like if you're gonna, whoever balls out today during these 15 reps is basically going to be the guy. And he talked about how I was like lights out and stuff like that. And he just didn't have it, but really, really interesting backstory. So they tried. they tried to find people early on after my first year in 2014 to replace me. They were just unsuccessful. Maybe in another universe, I do lose my job to somebody, but not in this one. Not in this one. They did not cut my scholarship and give it to a receiver who ended up having no catches, though. So that is tough if you're that guy.
is this who we've discussed?
No, the answer is Drake. The Jeopardy answer there is who is Drake?
Who is Drake?
Who is Drake? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Unfortunate casualty of
who is the guy who came back from a pretty catastrophic leg injury to become a better player than he was before he was hurt. Just that guy. I'm still bitter about it, dude. I'll probably die a little bit bitter about it.
Probably? 100%. 100%. It is what it is. I have nothing else. There's nothing else I want to talk about. I am excited to congratulate Kevin live on the show.
Me too. I was hoping he's going to be here.
I know. He'll be here on Sunday, I believe. And we can give him all the shit there. And then I suppose we start getting some guests on now that football is officially, well, many people like to remind me on the social media that the XFL and the USFL are still going to be playing this spring.
Shout out Jack Kerner.
Sean Beyer, Coy Cronk, maybe? Or so one of, or no. Jack Heflin is the other one. There's three of them in the XFL repping the Hawks. Pretty dope.
Shout out JB, James Butler, just got traded to different province in Canada.
Yeah, he's up there killing it in the CFL.
Dude, he's a beast. I think he's got like back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. And he's also got one of the most diabolical cold tub setups of all time. Yeah. Buddy has a horse trough or cattle trough, whatever you want to call
sitting
it.
Sitting on his deck.
Black plastic cattle trough sitting on his deck in Chicago, which is not warm. And he goes out there every day in his robe and he hits this ice with a sledgehammer until the ice breaks enough so that he can climb his ass in this below freezing water and sit there and meditate. JB, you're a better man than I with way, way bigger stones because
it just wouldn't be me. He needs to be the guy. He needs to kick off the guest for 2023.
Sure. I'll text him, see what he's doing.
Also, Landon Paulson commented on our YouTube video and said it's been too long.
Let's do it.
We need to have Landon back on the show. He wants to come back on the show. I don't know if he wants to come on with Levi or they want to do separate episodes, but we've got a couple guys who we need to bring on and then
they've got a cooking show and yeah. I'm big on their cooking page. I'm commenting, sending DMs to their cooking page all the time.
By the way, Mila in the background through the little crack in the you can see your face,
sweetie bean.
Grant, by the way, the little history of the walk-ons here, the Landon and Levi Paulson episode. When we talk numbies, okay. It did.
Mm-hmm. When we also talk two of the most beloved figures in the Hawkeye community ever. Still today, but ever, dude.
That episode did numbies. We'll just say that. It's a top 10 all-time episode.
I'll go back and listen.
You'll enjoy.
It's like 100 minutes long. They sat with us for like over an hour and a half. It was fantastic. The story about them not even knowing what a scholarship offer was is hilarious.
Oh.
Unbelievable.
Dude, Jihad, they left Coach Ferentz on red for a while. He offered them and they were just like, oh, that's cool. And then they went long enough
couple weeks.
People in their life, their coach – and I think they said their parents were like, hey, man, like, you know, you guys should like should go, right? Like, this is a really good opportunity.
You'll just have to go back and listen. It is for anyone who's still here. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable episode. It is worth your time, even if you've listened to it once or twice already. We'll wrap it there. We actually it's a nice little clean hour that we put together. Kevin will be back. We'll be able to congratulate him on the next episode, I assume, unless he just, you know, his priorities are in a different place. Who knows? engaged man now. Could be different. 395. Dude, we got to find a 400 guest. That's on me. I'll find one. We'll get somebody. Until then, talk to you later. Peace.
Peace.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.